Fasten your seatbelt. Turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. You're listening to a recording of a traditional Hmong dance performed by Marathon County Administrator Brad Carter at a recent event marking the 40th anniversary of the first Hmong immigrants who came to Wausau. I'm Glenn Moberg. The Hmong were valuable allies to our soldiers during the Vietnam War, and after our withdrawal from Southeast Asia, many were forced to flee their traditional homeland in Laos, many with just the clothing on their backs, with no knowledge of English, dodging gunfire while crossing the Mekong River under the cover of night. 40 years ago, a handful of Hmong people came to central Wisconsin, experiencing culture shock and too often the resentment of those who were already here. But there has been great progress, and today on Route 51, we look ahead to the next 40 years with Cam Tong Yang, board president of the Hmong American Center and leader of the Hmong Lao Veterans Memorial, Chung Soo Her, owner of the new Wausau World Market, which marks its grand opening on Friday, and Mao Kang, Southeast Asian coordinator with the women's community and organizer of the upcoming March for Peace in Wausau. Later in the program, you'll hear the words of Chang Yang, who made that perilous crossing across the Mekong River, also the late General Vang Pao, the George Washington of the Hmong people, Kaylee Peterson, a 19-year-old Hmong American student, and for the first part of our show, Marathon County Administrator and Dance King, Brad Carger. You can join the conversation by calling 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page, and I will read it live on the air. Nice dance moves, Brad. How did you pick that up?
Well, actually, my partner Sasor Lee and I practice in the courthouse every Sunday night at 6 o'clock for 6 months.
You're a Facebook sensation, you know.
I know.
It's going to go viral, I'm sure. Well, tell us about the dance that you performed and about the event that took place about a month ago at the Jefferson mm-hmm. Street Inn.
The community came together under the guidance of the Hmong American Association, but it wasn't just people who were associated with that, and decided it was in need of a celebration of the 40th anniversary of Hmong people moving to Wausau. That's also the first Hmong immigrants to Wisconsin, that couldn't go by unrecognized. There was a need to raise some money for Hmong scholarships. The committee that I also served on said, you know what, we're going to reflect on the past 40 years, but the focus is on the next 40.
And that's what this show is all about, too. And there has been a lot of progress over the past 40 years.
There has. One thing I don't want people to gloss over, though, it was hard. It was not easy for Hmong people to come here with all the things that you had earlier described. There was a lot of hardship. There was a lot of post-war trauma that people had to work through. They had to work through language. They had to work through new family expectations. They had to work through a lot of things. It was hard. The progress has been unbelievable.
Cam Tong Yang, you're the president of the Hmong American Center. That's a position held for many years by Peter Yang. Tell us about the organization and what you're trying to accomplish there.
Well, Glenn, our organization was established April 19th of 1983, so it's been around for 32 years. And the initial mission of the organization is to help assimilate the Hmong refugees into the Wausau area. And as Brad mentioned earlier, back in the early days, there was language barrier, culture shock, and just an overall struggle to assimilate. So our organization was there to help a lot of the refugees get through those hard times.
Your reflections on the progress that the Hmong community has made over the past 40 years and your hopes and dreams for the next 40 years?
Well, I think there is a lot of struggle as we assimilated over the last 40 years. But I think now we can finally come together as one community, and we have the same missions. A lot of Hmong people now, they want to have professional jobs. They want to be business owners. They want to be educated. And our focus now is going to try to promote those things so that we can live together with a larger community for the next 40 years.
Mao Kang, you're the Southeast Asian coordinator for the women's community. What does that entail?
Well, what I wanted to see, I think we have come a long way. We have, you know, women in leadership. We have, you know, youth in leadership. We have come, you know, we're trying to fight and we're trying to make equality. And so I think that was like the last 40 years that we are struggling with. And in the next 40 years, I'm hoping to see more women in leadership and more youth and more young people in leadership. And hopefully, you know, the elders can come and support this and bring the community together.
You're the Southeast Asian coordinator at the Women's Community. And you're also organizing a Hmong Peace March on May 31st. Tell us about the march and what you're trying to accomplish.
I'm not the organizer. I'm just a Hmong leader that this has fall upon me. I guess it's been like with this march, it has been affected with the Isaiah Power case and Dylan case has affected, you know, not just Hmong and Wassa, but it's across the nation.
Now you're talking about Dylan Yang.
Yeah, Dylan Yang.
Who is a Hmong teenager who was convicted of reckless homicide for the stabbing death of a 13-year-old boy. And that happened in adult court. Even though he was a teenager, he was tried in adult court. And this court case is something that has energized Hmong people, not just in Wassa, but across the entire country.
Right. And it has come upon some community member here that, you know, concerning reaching out to, you know, the national level. And that's where, you know, they say, Mao, we're coming in 400 or 500 people. We want to do this. So I connected with Brad and say, this is what's happening. What are we going to do? Let's help them shape this and make this, you know, positive, bringing community together, reflection, you know, healing and harmony.
Brad, I'm going to have you comment on this since she brought you up.
Well, first of all, what I think is important is that I know there's a number of Hmong people who are upset, that worried that this is just going to upset or inflame racial harmony here in the Marathon County. But protest is a part of the American way. As long as it's a protest that is peaceful, that reflects well on the people who participated on it, reflects well on our community, and reflects well in the Hmong community, I think it'd be well received.
And again, that's May 31st in Wausau, and there have been phone calls and people saying they're going to be coming here from all over the country. Let's move to Chung Soo Her. Chung Soo, you're about to have a very big event tomorrow. You've got the grand opening of the Wausau World Market. Tell us about that.
Well, the last, you know, I've been here 35 years. The last 35 years, you know, we've been really trying hard to work, to become, you know, self-sufficient and all that. And now I see that, you know, our people, it's time for us to move to the next level. That's why I try very hard to bring this up. And I work together with the city and, you know, to put this thing up. So get Hmong people, you know, encourage Hmong people to get into business. So the next 40 years, you know, hopefully that, you know, will be almost every family, like the Chinese people, the Japanese people, they came here, they start out, you know, working, and now they, you know, they got business all over the place. Everyone have own a business, and that's what I'm looking forward to. So that's why, you know,
so that all kind of pulls together with the grand opening of the Wausau World Market, which is opening up new business opportunities for the Hmong community. That's tomorrow. When is the grand opening celebration?
Tomorrow going to be the chamber. You know, they're going to, you know, do, you know, their
the ribbon cutting?
Ribbon cutting, and then we're going to do again, you know, on Saturday. So we will have another event on Saturday as well.
And this is something that a lot of people are going to be interested in. You're also the guy, you worked for the Marathon County Parks Department for 30 years, right?
Yes.
You're the guy who drove the Zamboni machine.
Yes.
For the hockey games and the ice skating and everything else. What was that like?
Well, I feel like, you know, I'm one of the luckiest guy, you know, because everyone that came to the hockey rink and they always said, my dream is I want to drive Zamboni. And it seems like, you know, everybody want to have my job and, you know, get to do the Zamboni. Every time I get on there with a high school games or things like that, will be, you know, I don't know how many eyes watching me and all that. And, you know, actually we got really nervous every time we, you know, got on the ice.
Well, Brad Karger, there's a case study of assimilation. Here you have people from a tropical country, Laos, and there he is out on the Zamboni machine preparing ice for sports competitions in northern Wisconsin.
I tried to drive the Zamboni a number of times, and they would never let me.
did he do a good job?
He was great.
Brad, when you look at our guests today and the organizations and the businesses they represent, the Hmong community has indeed come a long way.
They've come a long way.
I want to revisit an interview that I did a few years back for Wisconsin Public Radio when we produced a documentary about our Hmong neighbors called Bridging the Shores. You're going to listen to Chang Yang. At the time, he was the president of the Hmong Mutual Association of Wausau, which later became the Hmong American Center, and a human resources executive with one of Marathon County's top employers. Listen to Chang as he tells the story of the perilous trip that he took, helping to guide his friends and family across the Mekong River, dodging enemy bullets and arriving in Wausau on a cold January day with few possessions, only his tropical clothing, and no knowledge of the English language.
Before you crossing through the Mekong River, we have to have a very good swimmer that we can buy each other together. And the good swimmer pull about 5 to 6 people at one time.
How deep is the river?
The river is about 50 to 100 feet deep.
50 to 100 feet deep, so you couldn't just walk across it.
No, you cannot walk across it. You will be sink under the water.
You had to tie people together in order to get across. You had to swim across, and you had a good swimmer in front.
That's true, yeah.
What were the perils when you were going across the river that way?
When we go across the river, we have to tie each other together, and we have to have the bamboo that is under our chest. And when we crossing through, sometimes the river is very, very hard to crossing through, and lots of people are drowned.
You had people being shot as they were swimming across?
We have lots of people that get shot when they're swimming across.
How did that happen?
It's pretty much it's a moonlight too. It's easy to see in the river, and the baby are crying, and people are drowned, and they are yelling for help. The North Vietnamese soldier have a boat that they circle around looking for all these people, and whoever they see, either they shot the group or the individual and just let go, or they pulled it out and then took them back to Laos.
So let me picture this. You've got groups of people tied together crossing the river 6 at a time. You've got children who are screaming and crying, and the enemy soldiers in their boats looking for them, listening to the sounds, and then shooting them before they can get to the other side.
That's right.
How many people died on the way across? Did you have friends who died?
I have a lot of friends that died. I have a family member that died on the Mekong River. When we crossing through, my mom was a guy catcher and took that back to Laos, and I haven't seen my mom for 10 years after when I came to the United States.
What was it like for you, after going through all of that, to come to America?
I think that America is a heaven for me. When I got here, I saw lots of different things. The only thing that I get a little bit frustrated first time when I got here because it's cold, and the weather, and the snow.
Did you speak any English at the time?
When I came to the United States, I don't know how to read ABC. I don't even know how to read and write and speak English at all.
How do you feel about America now?
I feel very good. I think that this country is an opportunity for each of the individual. Even you come from different country to here, you have a hard life. The only thing that you need to do, you have to work hard and work very hard to reach your goal. Set a couple different goals for yourself, and you know you will have a good life in this country because it's a country of opportunity.
That's Chang Yang, who crossed the Mekong River in Laos, spent time in a Hmong refugee camp in Thailand, and arrived in Wausau on a cold January morning wearing his tropical clothes with no knowledge of the English language, and who was able to make a successful life for himself and his family here. Chung Soo Hur, you also made that voyage.
Yes, I did.
Was your experience similar to Chang Yang's?
I was, you know, one of the lucky group that never got shot or anything. But I swam across. I pulled 8 people.
You were a good swimmer.
And we had like 8 peoples. And by the time I got across, you know, I got a big, you know, bruise because of the rope was, you know.
A big bruise on your neck. You're motioning neck, to your neck.
Because I tied, you know, everybody tied into me, and then as I swam across, you know, they all pulled me away because each one of them all pulling apart.
Did you know any English when you came to America?
Yes, no, and okay. That's all I did. I even
got
trouble.
Yes, no, and okay?
Yes.
You are a very articulate man, and for you to pick up all of those skills and to assimilate into a very strange culture, it must have seemed so strange when you first arrived here. That's a testimony to what all of your people have done.
I have a lot of difficulties, you know, in my life when I first came. I left Thailand June 18, 1980. I came to Park Falls, Wisconsin. I got there about June 25th, 1980. And the 4th of July celebration, we live on the east side of, you know, First Avenue. The fairground is on the west side of Second Avenue. So they shoot fireworks, you know, right on our backyard. And me and my wife, we were, you know, all nervous, all ready to ran into, you know, into the woods. And then I happened to call my sponsor, didn't know what to tell her. But at the same time, another firework went off. And then I just making a noise to tell her that this is what I meant, you know.
So you had what we call post-traumatic stress syndrome. The sound of the explosions.
Yes.
Did not do good things for you.
No. Back in the old days, if we ever have a big boom like that, people die everywhere and people scream and, you know, for help and all that. And me and my wife, by the time, you know, my sponsor, they live about 5 blocks away. By the time she got to our house, and we were all ready to run.
Mao Kang, your reflections on Chang Yang's story and Chung Su's story.
Well, can I talk about how the women suffered during those times?
Yes.
My dad was drafted into the war when he was 10. And when he married my mom, she was 13, and then the war began, and then she had to be the hero. I talked to a lot of women, too. They had to be the hero. Their men are in the field fighting, and then they had the mom or the women had to keep their ears open, listening and see where enemies are coming from so that they move in group so that they will be safe in taking their kids. And so when my dad was in the war zone, my mom was the one that, you know, making sure that we are safe going places to place and to meet my dad and crossing the Mekong River. We were very small. We don't, you know, I can't remember a lot, but my mom said I cried a lot and they were so scared. All they did was travel during the nighttime. During the daytime, they will be covered with grasses or whatever and sleep. And we are very fortunate that we got to the Mekong River, crossing the boat, that, you know, they believe that God has been watching them, that there was this guy, a Thai guy that knows the king, and took them over to the king's house and then feed them and then took them to the village. So
you experienced that too, but you were too young to remember much of it now.
Yes.
Kam Tong Yang, your impressions on what you've just heard.
Yeah, I was one of the children that benefited from people like Chung Su and like Chang Yang. I was 9 months old when we crossed the Mekong River, and my parents were just hoping that I wouldn't cry so that it wouldn't alarm the Vietnamese communist soldiers. So luckily, yeah, I didn't cry. We crossed the river. And I don't recall any of those memories because I was so young, but I still remember living through the refugee camps back in the 80s.
Now, all of this is very important to you because you're organizing to put up a Hmong Lao Veterans Memorial in Wausau. Tell us about that.
Well, the memorial is a unification of the two groups of people, the Americans and the Hmong people. Even though the Hmong have been here for over 40 years, I don't think a lot of people know about the contributions of the Hmong people to the United States. So this memorial is a unification of the two groups of people, telling everybody that, hey, we were friends. We helped each other during the war. My father saved your father, and we should live together in harmony.
Brad Karger, when the Hmong arrived in Wausau, their numbers grew. They met with some resistance from the predominantly white population here. I came up here in 1993, and at the time I was surprised by the amount of racial prejudice that I encountered. From my own perspective, however, I was equally surprised at how quickly it all went away over the course of the past 20 years or so, and how quickly our Hmong neighbors have been welcomed here.
I think it's a little bit of an overstatement to say it all went away, but it's certainly diminished a lot. You know, a lot of the issue early on was employment. And one of the stories that was resonating through the people who had been here a long time was that they were too lazy to work and that they were satisfied with public assistance. Those that knew the Hmong knew that they're just the opposite. That's not even close. It was a language barrier. It's like they didn't understand our factories. They weren't given equal opportunity for jobs. So once I think people started working shoulder to shoulder with them, started to know people, then it really started to diminish.
Well, there was also negative publicity in the form of an article in the Atlantic Monthly and then a 60 Minutes piece by Morley Safer entitled Enough, which painted a very negative picture of both the Hmong community and the white community in Wausau. There were references to the conservative white burghers of Wausau resisting change, and in Morley Safer's piece, an unflattering portrait of the Hmong as freeloaders lining up for welfare. I can still remember his snide delivery. You know, he said, and they never miss a payment.
Mm-hmm.
That is a picture that if you know how industrious and hardworking the Hmong people are, it is so detached from reality.
Yes. I was personally embarrassed by that piece, not just for our community, but for myself. I mean, it didn't reflect well on anybody in our community, and it used a lot of the Wausau Insurance logo to try to portray our community as some idyllic, rural, unsophisticated community, none of which was true.
Well, I was a news director at the CBS affiliate here in town at the time, WSAW Channel 7. I remember welcoming Morley. We had a big spread for him, lots of food. We rolled out the red carpet, took him around town, and then we were shocked when we saw the finished story. I felt it was a hit job.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as I said, the Hmong people have indeed proven that they were industrious, hardworking, patriotic toward America, and Chung Su willing to assimilate, learn English, and now you're opening a new business enterprise this weekend. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I want to go back to, you know, way they, you know, related before, you know, before I get to this point right here. At the time, I was one of the people that, you know, led the group from Laos to Thailand. I went, you know, back to Laos twice. And then the little one like that, you know, we have, you know, opium at the time. We have to, you know, give it to them, you know, mix with water, give it to them so to get them, you know, to overdose them.
So they would be quiet?
So they will be quiet and they won't cry when they hit the water. So
which would attract enemy gunfire if there were boats in the water.
Right. Because when they cry, then that's when, you know, when the, you know, enemies, they heard about the noise and then the problems start. So we have to get all the little one all overdose, and then we lost quite a bit with that. And I was one of the one that, you know, makes the, you know, the opium to overdose the kids, and, you know, all the little one we end up doing that on both times.
How far we have indeed come. Brad, we're going to let you go. Brad Karger, do you have any thoughts on where we've been and where we're heading over the next 40 years?
I'm really looking forward to the next 40 years. I hope to be a big part of it. I think our community is strong. I think the relationships of the Hmong leadership to the broader leadership of Marathon County is strong. I think that there's nowhere to go but up here. We're going to see Hmong entrepreneurship. We're going to see Hmong college graduates. And we're going to see changing relationships within the Hmong community. I think everything is on the right track.
I'm Glenn Moberg. Today on Route 51, we are looking ahead to the next 40 years of the Hmong community. And you will find links to the Hmong American Center and the Wausau World Market on our Route 51 Facebook page. Our guest, Kam Tong Yang of the Hmong American Center, also Mao Kang of the Women's Community, and Chung Su Her, who is the owner of the new Wausau World Market. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. Now, when we come back, you will hear some of the words of the late General Vang Pao, the George Washington of the Hmong people, during a visit to Wausau several years ago on Route 51.
Supporters of Wisconsin Public Radio include Country Travel Discoveries and Cliff Wall Subaru, proud sponsors of WPR programs. Your business can join our ever-growing list of contributors. More information at WPR.org/sponsor. Support also comes from the Wausau River District, celebrating the history of Wausau during Downtown Open House Wausau, May 14th. Wausau's past is revealed as historic sites open their doors to the public. WausauRiverDistrict.com.
The music of Seem Mulb taking us into our next segment of Route 51 as we look ahead to the next 40 years of the Hmong community in north central Wisconsin with Kam Tong Yang, board president of the Hmong American Center and leader of the Hmong Lao Veterans Memorial, Chung Su Her, owner of the new Wausau World Market, and Mao Kang, organizer of the upcoming March for Peace in Wausau. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call at 1-800-780-9742 or put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page, and I will read it live on the air. Mao Kang, let's talk a little bit more about the March for Peace on May 31st. It's called Save Our Children, and as we said before, the event is expected to draw hundreds of Hmong people from around the country. Tell us a little bit about the response.
You mean the response from the Hmong community?
Yes.
Or from everybody?
From all over the country, because it's not just Wausau.
What we're hoping is to bring peace, healing, and reflection to the community. And it's leading by Tu Zhe Zhong and Paula Yang. Tu Zhe Zhong is from Minnesota. He's an activist. And Paula Yang, she's from California. We've been doing a lot of cases together when Hmong women wasn't buried, and they came and helped us. So really, you know, it's a peace march for healing, reflecting, and bringing community together and addressing anti-bullying, violence prevention, and transparency of the criminal justice system.
Now this, as we said in the last segment, it all ties into the verdict involving a Hmong teenager, Dylan Yang, who was convicted of stabbing to death another teenager, 13-year-old Isaiah Powell. Yang was convicted in adult court, even though he's a teenager, of reckless homicide. He could get 60 years in prison. Does that possible sentence has that helped motivate people for this march?
Yes.
And some people would say this 13-year-old Isaiah Powell, he was stabbed twice in the back by Yang. Some people would say that Yang got what he deserved. How do you respond to them?
Well, I guess, you know, they don't know about the legal systems, and there's a lot of, you know, misinterpreting going on. And so I guess some Hmong people, they don't understand what's going on.
Should we even be trying children in adult court?
No. I mean, you know, I think the justice system needs to change. And it's going to take some, you know, some people getting together and make that move.
And there's a feeling among some people that Yang was singled out because he's Hmong. Do you think somebody who was Anglo or white might have gotten the same kind of conviction or faced the same kind of portrayal as he was portrayed in court?
to what I've seen within the Marathon County, I think the judges are being fair. I think the district attorney are fair enough. I think it's just the justice systems that, you know, it's the law. You know, we, you know, just have to do what the law has. I think they've, you know, tried the best that they can.
This was a fight between two groups of children, and immediately some people in the media reacted, oh, this has got to be gang activity. Was it gang activity? Was that involved here?
Not that I know of.
And Dylan Yang, how are his family and friends reacting to all of this?
I think it needs a lot of healing, a lot of coming together. The family does feel for Isaiah's family too. And so I think it's just a lot of healing and coming together within the community.
Cam, your reflections on this peace march that's coming up in Wausau?
You know, overall, I think it's got good intentions. The result is that two lives are ruined. Isaiah Powell, who is no longer alive, and Dylan Yang, the future of him will be questionable on what his contributions will be to our community. But we want to prevent something like this from ever happening again. And it's not whether Dylan is Hmong or not Hmong, and Isaiah that he's not Hmong. It's about our community and our children, and we want to teach them what is right and what is wrong, and getting into fights and stabbing, killing each other. That's not right, and that's what the focus is.
Chung Su, I'll let you weigh in on this too.
You know, over the years that, 35 years that I live in Wausau, Marathon County, I have seen that, you know, a lot of the things that are going on, you know, even the women, the, you know, the minority and all that, I have seen that they kind of, you know, act like, you know, in the same thing in the, you know, the army. When somebody doing something, they punish this person mm-hmm. and punish everybody for it. And I think that is wrong. You know, if you are at your house and somebody come over and try to, you know, cause trouble to your, you know, friend, your family, and your home, I don't know, you know, even if that was me, I don't know what I'm, you know, I might be doing the same thing, because just to rescue my, you know, my own friend, that might have happened the same. So if people want to, you know, punish Dylan for, you know, to be that hard, I can understand, you know, maybe, you know, lesser sentence, you know, because he killed somebody, but not 60 years.
Mm-hmm. I want to turn now to another problem in the Hmong community, and it's a problem that also faces the white community, domestic violence. A few years ago, there were some high-profile cases of Hmong women who were abused and killed. And back in July of 2009, the man who was known as the George Washington of the Hmong people, the late General Vang Pao, attended a conference in Wausau called Hmong in the Past, Present, and Future. There were hundreds of people who turned out for this event, and it was all to end the scourge of domestic violence, a problem that some say stemmed in part from old cultural attitudes coming into conflict with new ways of living in what's really a liberal American culture. Here are General Vang Pao's words translated through an interpreter.
The husband has to respect the wife as he respects himself. And the wife, you have to be a good role model, so that way you be a good example for your family and children. When she marries you, you have to give her love and don't hurt her. That's why we have to suffer today, because we forget what marriage is all about. We are Hmong. We are smart. We are very beautiful people. We have a great culture, and we don't want to have a bad name for Hmong people. Do your best to be a role model. I'm telling you today to stop.
The late General Vang Pao, the George Washington of the Hmong people, speaking out against the scourge of domestic violence at an appearance in Wausau in July of 2009. Mao Kang, you are the Southeast Asian coordinator with the women's community. You work with the victims of domestic abuse. Has the Hmong community taken General Vang Pao's message to heart?
Yes. After the 2009, he has assigned five women, six men on as a core committee under the 18 Clan Council to come and revamp the 18 Clan Council. 18 Clan Council is a nonprofit organization that they send all the clan leaders statewide, selected by within their clan, to come and sit to resolve Hmong problems. And in the past, there has only been men. And ever since the 2009 conference, with that message goes on, he said that we need to add Hmong women on the council board so that they can, Hmong women can solve Hmong women issue, men can solve men's issue, in adding the youth to solve the issue. So within that, we have five women, six men to come and develop some protocols, how to respond to Hmong domestic violence, sexual assault, what to do with the kids when both of them are murdered. And within those 2 years, we were able to do that, got that. July of 2011, we did a big celebration, sending that out, you know, giving it copies to the whole community. And right now, within the council, within the bylaw, they have fixed to say there's 16 council men, there should be 16 council women, and then the young people.
That in itself is a big change from the way Hmong culture has traditionally treated the sexes, treated men and women.
Oh, yes. We have asked to, you know, to make it fair, and that's why we, you know, with the election, they had to change, you know, the laws and saying, you know, the Hmong bylaw saying that anybody can run for the president of the 18 Clan Council. It can either be a man or a female. And with this, you know, with the last term, they appointed a vice president, Yuri T. Yang, which she's a female. And then with this term, when we ran, I ran as the vice president of the 18 Clan Council, and we won.
We're going to take a short break today on Route 51. We're looking ahead to the next 40 years of the Hmong community in Wausau with Kam Tong Yang, board president of the Hmong American Center. Also, Chung Soo Her, the owner of the new Wausau World Market, and Mao Kang, the Southeast Asian coordinator with the women's community and one of the people behind the upcoming March for Peace, May 31st in Wausau. When we come back, you will hear the voice of a Hmong millennial, 19-year-old Kaylee Peterson, a student at UW-Marathon County. But taking us into the next break, here's the guitar and the vocals of Sa Lee.
Supporters of Wisconsin Public Radio include Olbrich Botanical Gardens, Rogers Memorial Hospital, and Glassnickel Pizza. Your business can join our ever-growing list of contributors. Go to WPR.org/sponsor. Support also comes from Christine Bremer-Moogley of the personal injury law firm Bremer & Trollope, committed to protecting the rights of accident victims throughout Wisconsin. Bremer & Trollope, because the right results matter most. Bremer-Law.com.
I'm I'm Glenn Moberg. We're back on Route 51 as we look ahead to the next 40 years of the Hmong community in north central Wisconsin with Cam Tong Yang of the Hmong American Center, Chung Soo Her, owner of the new Wausau World Market, which has its grand opening tomorrow, Friday, and Mao Kang, Southeast Asian coordinator with the women's community, organizer of the upcoming March for Peace in Wausau. I want to go to the phones right now. Ray in Rhinelander has been waiting patiently. Ray, you're on Route 51.
Thank you for this honor to speak, Glenn. This was very quicksilver. I was part of the first group of people, the Hmong, that came here back in the early 80s in Wausau. It was a VISTA type of social service position that I had. It was temporarily, but I worked with a variety of the different Hmong in work-related settings. One of them was at the North Healthcare Center on the grounds crew there. I worked with them there in a variety of different spots through town. It was very, very wonderful. It was one of the most amazing personal, wonderful experiences for me as a cultural exchange. They were so eager to learn, to be here, to help, to get educated. They were so polite. I can't say enough positive things about these people. And they went through a lot of stuff when they first came here, the readjustments. They weren't very welcomed by some people, but they adjusted. And it was, I can't say enough about the Hmong people and look where they are now. And I'm very proud of them. I'm very grateful that I was able to work and be with them. And I want to thank them all on air for that wonderful opportunity and keep up the good work.
All right, Ray, thanks so much for the phone call. Cam, I'll let you respond to that.
Yeah, thank you for the wonderful words, Ray. You are right. We are very appreciative of the opportunity that was given to us by the United States government to come into this country. And it took a while for us to assimilate and learn the society. And I think that it's come a long way thanks to people like you who understand and help us.
We're now into the second and even third generation of the Hmong community of north central Wisconsin, and today's young millennials are very different from their Hmong parents and grandparents who came here from Laos. I sat down with a 19-year-old Hmong American student at UW Marathon County, Kaylee Peterson, who shared some of her hopes for the future.
I think Wisconsin is the third biggest state for the Hmong population, so I believe that education and language and citizenship has been growing in this state, or yet alone in this city right here.
Well, what do you think is the difference now in terms of young people and how they live in the Hmong community compared to, say, 20 or 30 years ago?
For myself, I've strayed away from the norms. It's very typical of a young lady like myself to be married by this age and to have kids. And as for now, that's not something that I see for myself until I'm probably 30 years old or once I have my life together.
So do you think that more young Hmong people are kind of breaking away from the old traditional ways that people had in Laos and assimilating more into the overall American society?
I do believe so. I mean, back then, I feel like women or Hmong girls were told to dress a specific way. They were told to act a specific way. Whereas today, you can dress the way you want. You can go to school and you can have a different life. I feel like people from 20 years ago were so closed-minded, and now today we can be our own person.
So what do you want to do?
What do I want to do? Oh, I want to do a lot of things, but right now I'm in college. I'm a college student, so I have dreams of becoming a doctor. I want to go to Madison, so I'm waiting to hear back.
And you're a student at UW Marathon County, and you're waiting to hear from UW Madison.
Correct. So the anticipation is killing me.
If you become a doctor, are you going to move back to Wausau and practice, or are you going to go somewhere else?
If I become a doctor, I hope to be able to stray away just to see how things are. But I could see myself living here and practicing what I love, and maybe eventually even having kids. But I think Wausau in general is a safe and it's a welcoming city, especially for a Hmong woman.
And the elders, are more of them able to speak English than they were when the first wave of immigrants came? Are the elders being able to assimilate more into the overall American culture?
I feel like they are. I mean, they can definitely understand what we're saying to them more. but I don't think that they can actually have a fluent conversation with us unless they were educated by their kids who are in schools.
Is that something that a lot of kids do? They end up educating their parents?
Definitely. I still do it to my mother. As I hate to admit it or not, I still do it.
Kaylee, anything you'd like to add?
My family, I have a few people who are gay or who are lesbians, and I feel that 20 years ago, nobody would have accepted that. They're more accepted, and I hope that every parent accepts who their kids are, no matter what they claim to be.
So that's a big change.
That is a big change, and I feel like the change is coming already.
You know, it's a big change for the rest of American society, too.
Exactly. And I know it's hard to accept, but I feel like if we just accept each other, love each other, and respect each other, we would have no problem.
That's 19-year-old Kaylee Peterson, a student at UW-Marathon County, and an example of how the Hmong community is changing with the millennial generation. Mao Kang, your reflection on her comments about her family and their acceptance of friends and relatives who are gay and lesbian, something that I think would have been unheard of in Laos.
Yes, it is. I think for the community that I work for the mainstream community. At the women's community, we do serve, you know, anybody, gays and lesbians, the LGBT community. If that's who they are, they choose to be, I would support it.
And Cam, in a role reversal, she said the young are teaching the adults about English, computer skills, and life in 21st century America.
Well, that is very true. A lot of kids, you know, they learn all these stuff in school and from their friends, and they're passing it on to their parents. And a lot of the older Hmong people are on Facebook, on smartphones, tablets now, and they're using email, so they're progressing.
Chung Soo, your reflections on what you just heard from Kaylee.
That is, you know, very wonderful thing that she you know, mentioned that, you know, it's changed a lot. Back in Laos, you know, if we ever heard that somebody is gay or lesbian, I think the whole community is going to, you know, throw them out, you know, probably not even the village, but probably out of country, you know, but now we are adapting to it.
Well, it's not just a change for the Hmong community, as I said. It's a change for all of American society, if you look at where attitudes were 20 or 30 years ago. But isn't this the pattern of all immigration to America from the Eastern Europeans and the Germans who settled in Marathon County back in the 1800s? Many of them hung on to the German language. You look at old tombstones, and they're written in German. The Italian Americans, the Latino Americans, and we're still struggling with the African Americans and the racial divide. But the new groups that immigrate here adapt eventually to the dominant culture in America. Cam Tong Yang, your hopes for the next 40 years?
My hopes are that we can live together and not be prejudiced based on each other's ethnics. And I think we all can contribute to this wonderful country.
Same question to you, Chung Suher, your hopes for the next 40 years?
The next 40 years, I hope that, you know, our young Hmong people, young Hmong professional, they will come back, you know, into the community. They will start the leadership. And I already saw that, you know, there are already two people that run for, you know, office, you know, to be county board, to be, you know.
Mary Tao was just elected to the Wausau School Board.
Yes. I'm going to see that more Hmong people into the government and stuff like that, and the city, county, you know, government. And we're going to take on as, you know, owner of the, you know, community.
Good luck on the grand opening of the Wausau World Market tomorrow.
Thank you.
And Mao Kang, you get the last word, your hopes for the next 40 years.
They say it all. What I wanted to say is we're going to live here. We're not going to go anywhere. We're going to raise kids here. And I hope that, you know, we all can come together as one. There's no color. And it's assimilated to, you know, the American culture. And also, I hope for the future, my kids can preserve the beautiful part of the Hmong culture and the language.
We want to thank our guest, Kam Tong Yang of the Hmong American Center, leader of the Hmong Lao Veterans Memorial, Chung Soo Her, owner of the new Wausau World Market, which marks its grand opening on Friday, Mao Kang of the Women's Community, organizer of the upcoming March for Peace, May 31st in Wausau. Earlier in our program, Marathon County Administrator Brad Carger, Chang Yang, and Kaylee Peterson. I'm Glenn Moberg. Thanks to our executive producer and on-air producer, Rick Ryer. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Special music today from Seem Moeb, Sa Lee, Dolly Chang, and Song of the Clouds. Next Thursday on Route 51, it's our annual garden show, giving you tips for growing vegetables, flowers, shrubs, and trees in our inclement weather and short, unforgiving growing season in north-central Wisconsin. Remember to follow us on Facebook. If you missed part of the show, you can hear it in its entirety Friday evening at 7 on WHRM 90.9 FM Wausau. Thanks for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin, and until next week, we're heading out of town. Do a sheet to more gossip.